Right, let's just pray, shall we, first?
Yes.
Lord, thank you that yours is the glory, yours is the victory, Lord. And we bless you that we can enter into that by faith in Jesus and what he's done. Lord, what seemed like defeat at the cross, Lord, was the greatest triumph of all time.
Yes.
Lord, we bless you that you defeated our enemy, destroyed the power of guilt and sin, Lord, and set your prisoners free. We bless you, Lord, for your mercies and goodness to us. And Lord, we ask you to help us now as we come to look at your word again. In Jesus' name. Well, I'd like us to just read a little passage from Romans. And this passage has triggered a series of thoughts in my mind. And the important bit is about the way we think. And you'll see what I'm getting at in a moment. Therefore, it's in Romans 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. You see, what Paul is getting at is that when we are born into this world, we're born with a whole load of problems. And part of it is the wiring diagram has got muddled up. And the older we get, and the more confused we get, the worse the wiring diagram becomes. God has got a solution for this, and it's his word to transform the way we think. We need God ideas rather than good ideas or bad ideas at the worst. Yeah? So it's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? And that's what we're going to be looking at. I've got part one there because as I was thinking about it, I believe the Lord wants me to share a series of three parts on this being transformed. How? Because it's alright saying be transformed, and that's a good idea. But if you're like me, the answer or the question that comes to mind is how? How? What's the practical ways of doing that? I like the practical answers. Well, I'd like to share with you some of the practical things about how to be transformed. And it covers three areas, if you'd like to show. The three areas are, firstly, how we think about ourselves. We start in the middle, we start with where we are, and we work outwards from that. Then we'll see about how we think about the world. Right? And then finally, although this is the big one really, and the lovely thing is that God permeates all of those areas, but we'll be thinking about how we think about God. Need to share a little bit of that this morning, of course, as we'll see later on, but that's where we're going to start. The way that you think affects the way that you live. Okay, so let's have a look at our next picture. There you are. All those cogs and things going on inside there. Right, that's an MRI scan of Jean. She's always got the cogs going, I can assure you. Right. But how we think about ourselves is really, really important. It really does affect the way you behave, the character that you are, the confidence that you have, can really, really be affected by those thoughts that go buzzing around in your head.
Yeah.
Okay? So I want to just give you a little example of what I mean about how important it is about the way that you think. And our next picture illustrates that for us. Here we have a man riding an elephant. Okay? Now then, simple question. Who is the more powerful, the man or the elephant? Different strengths. Who's more powerful then?
The man.
You think the man is?
Yes.
Why is he?
Because he commands.
He's commanding. He's in charge of the elephant. Now then, why is that possible? Is because the elephant thinks he's bigger and better than he is. Is that right?
Yeah.
If you could whisper into that elephant's ear, hey, you know that guy who's sitting on your neck? Chuck him off. You can throw him off. Easy, no trouble. Just wrap his tongue around him, off he's gone. Right, but the elephant has been broken, I mean broken, to think that this chap in charge is more important and more powerful.
Mm.
Now then, I just want to illustrate that as an example of how Christians can get conned by the devil.
Mm.
Right? He can take you for a long tatar as long as you give him the ability to do that. He doesn't have the authority. He doesn't have the power. But when you let him, he'll do it. Right? So are you an elephant or a rider? Right? Well, that's what it's about. And where, the way that you think is what it's all about. But of course, when the Bible talks about thinking, it doesn't just mean what's going on in your head. Because it uses the term thinking about the heart. What's really inside is what it's all about. There's a verse in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so he is. And they're not talking about your brain simply, they're talking about what you are and the way you function as a person, okay? So, let's have a look at some of the seriously wrong ways you can be thinking. We're going to look at some of the seriously wrong ways and then straighten them out, hopefully, as we go along as well. Well, you can see him there. That's Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh was top dog, as he thought. And when Moses went to confront him with the words, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go," Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go?" Right? Who is the Lord that I should obey Israel and let obey him and let Israel go? He's going to find out. Big time. But his problem is, he's got a view of himself that he's top dog. Nobody tells him what to do. I give all the orders around here. Well, that's seriously wrong thinking. He's going to discover that somebody's bigger than he is. Okay? Right, so that was Pharaoh. But it doesn't stop with Pharaoh. There are still a few Pharaohs around nowadays, by the way. But we've come to a guy called, I think he's in the King James Version, called Rabshakeh, which means the chief commander or the chief officer, the field officer, field commander. He turns up in the book of Isaiah, where, as the leader of the Assyrian army, he's surrounding Jerusalem. And you can read it on the inscriptions, the stone inscriptions, where he says, I fastened up Hezekiah like a caged bird. Right, boasting about his power of what he'd done, surrounding Jerusalem and trying to destroy the place. Well, Isaiah had a message for him, but this is what Rabshakeh says, the field commander. And he's talking to the people who are locked up inside the city. "Do not let Hezekiah mislead you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" He's just signed his death warrant. Yes. He talks about all these other gods that he smashed and destroyed because they're not God. Right? But now he's taking on God. See, he's got a wrong view of his powers and his abilities. His experience has taught him that he can beat anybody. He hasn't come up against the one that can beat him. He's about to do that. Okay, so, wrong view again, wrong way of thinking. I'm in charge. I could have put a picture of Frank Sinatra up there. With his song, right? The Pharaoh's still about. I did it my way. Don't you believe it. That's what you try, and that's what he thought, but it don't work, okay? Wrong attitude, it won't work. Right, next one please then. Well, here's another wrong attitude. Right? It's called the ascent of man, but it's really the descent of man.
Yeah.
Because we're made in God's image, but the way people think now is that you climbed up a tree, then climbed down the tree, and there we are. Right? Well, they're all barking up the wrong tree. Excuse the pun. Right? It's a wrong view, because it's not true. But being a wrong view, it has consequences. Right? What happens when you start thinking of yourself as an animal, an improved animal? Is you start behaving like them. Right? The other thing is, this excludes God. And if there ain't no God, you can do just what you like, and you've got nobody to account to, you've got nobody to tell you what to do. That's the way it is, isn't it? I did it my way, because my way is my way. And I don't want anybody interfering. I've told it before, and I'll say it again. As a 12-year-old boy, sitting in a little Pentecostal church, there, and the guy's talking to us, trying to knock some sense into these youths, right? And he says, "You've got to give your life to Jesus." And smart Alec, thinking like a Pharaoh, says to himself, it's my life. I'll do what I like with it.
Yeah.
Right? Stupid. Really. Right? Wrong way of thinking. I'm in charge. I'll do what I want. And if you think you've climbed out of the slime, well, as I say, you know, they think we climbed up a tree and then came down again. Why did we go up in the first place? I don't know. Let me ask you another question. And it's simply this. You look at that and you say, oh, well, we've evolved this, evolved that and the other and all that stuff. Well, we've adapted. I've no doubt we've adapted, yes. But, friends, I just want to ask you this. You just get one serious illness and you'll find out how complicated you are. This is not some piece of little simple machinery we're talking about complexity of an incredibly high order. It didn't happen by accident. We've been made in the image of God. God put us together. Right, that's one wrong view. Next one. Right, here we have him. That's a big lad. It's Goliath, right? But we're going to read about Goliath's ancestors. This is the time when the Israelites were sent, the spies, into the land before they entered Canaan. And they went in and they did a survey and they came back with a report. The men who had gone up with Caleb said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." The spies looked and saw the giants. They were giants. Seriously big people. Right? And they said, "We seem like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we look the same to them." What's their problem is the way they think about themselves. Right? It's true. They're big. Okay? David looked at him and he said, "He's big. That means he falls better." Okay? Right? The other thing is, David, later on, it's Caleb at this time, but David with Goliath looks at him and says, "You come against me with all this stuff, armor and everything else, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day, your head's going to go off." Good, isn't it? David, seeing the same thing, thinks differently. Caleb, seeing the same thing, says to the rest of them, he says, "We've got to go in. Of course we can do it. We can defeat them because their protection has gone and God is with us." Right? If you think you're defeated, you will be defeated. If you think you're a failure, you will fail. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, ultimately that. It's not that. It's about what God says. Do you believe him or don't you? That's what they had to say. Caleb and the others were faced with this choice. God says we can go in and we can beat them. The rest of them says, "They're too big, we can't." Well, it's simple. Do you believe God or don't you? It wasn't about Caleb being stronger than anybody else. He wasn't. I'm sure he wasn't. But he had a stronger belief. Stronger faith, he believed what God said and therefore had a different view of himself. He saw himself as being able to do the job that God had promised he was going to do through it. Okay? So, that's important, that you have a right view of your capabilities but also God's promises. If you haven't got God's promises, you won't get very far. Right, so that's the spies in the land. We seem like grasshoppers. We were just that big. Friends, when you're faced with the problems, do you see yourself as a grasshopper or as a giant slayer?
Giant.
Eh? Not always, right? Well, you need to make the grasshopper grow a bit, is all I'd say, right? Okay, so, we look the same to them. That's why they thought, actually, that wasn't true. We look the same to them. If you'd have interviewed some of the people of Canaan at the time, you'd have got the message that Rahab got later on. They're all scared to death of you. They really are. It's just that they look big, they blow hard, and it makes an impressive noise, but and they're gone. Okay, because God is behind the blow. Right, next one please. Here we have two people with two very different attitudes. One is, well, we'll read the story. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, let's have a look at the two attitudes. First of all, the Pharisee. Take his back off. We've not finished with him yet. Start again. Back one. Can you go previous? Previous! Yes! There we are. I'll have a drink while we're waiting. Right, two views. Pharisee, first of all. What's his problem? He's deceived. He thinks he's all right.
Yeah, he does.
He thinks he's the bee's knees. Hunky-dory. Everything's fine. Do you know what's done that? It's a religious spirit. He's a religious man. He does the things, ticks the boxes, does the right stuff. Therefore, I'm okay. Thank you, God. Right? It's an arrogant, self-deceived attitude that he's got. Friends, there's nothing worse than being self-deceived. Really serious. This guy's in trouble, and he doesn't know it. So that religion, dear friends, will get you up the wrong road at times. Okay? Be warned. Just thinking you're going through the religious motions can be very dangerous, as we find out for this man. The other man, what's his thoughts about himself? He calls himself a sinner. He's being realistic at this point in time. He's not going to stay a sinner. He's going to be a saved sinner, right? But he's got a realistic view about himself at this moment. He's not coming with all this arrogance and bluff and blow that says, look, he couldn't even look up to heaven. He felt ashamed of what he had been and what he'd done. And he bows his head before God and just asks for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know, when you come with that sort of attitude about going on in your head, do you know the good news is God's listening and he's willing to answer and help.
Right.
So we need to have right attitudes. We're not like the Pharaohs, puffed up and blown up, right? But we need to realise that we need God and we need his help. And as we do that, well, he lifts us up and blesses us. Because once you've gone past that point of admitting your faults and your failings to the Lord, you're on the right road to start standing up and hold up your head up high. Okay? Because you can now say, I thank you, God, I'm not as other men. What he meant by, what you could say now is, I thank you, Lord, I'm not as other men who haven't repented and found their mercy in you, Lord. Yeah. Well, we're not like other men if you know Jesus. But that doesn't make you better than others. It just makes you blessed. Okay? Right, so let's move on now then. Here we are, we're on to some good thoughts. Now then, new ways of thinking. And this is where we start getting some of the positive stuff. Well, we read Psalm 139. And 139 that John read to us, it's all about how well God knows you. He says, if it's dark, God can still see. He says, the dark. And if I travel far away to the other ends of the earth, he says, you're there before I get off the plane.
Right?
He's there. So there's no escaping from him. But it's not an escape to run away. It's an escape to know his protection. That he's there all the time. Okay? Well, what we want is to realise, first of all, that we are God's creatures. We've been made by God. We're God's creation. I've got Ephesians 2:10, one of the most important verses in the Bible, I believe, for any person that really has struggles with their identity. Listen to it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are not a mistake. How many people have got that problem? They think, you know, they're a mistake, there's something not right and all that. Well, okay, there are things that are wrong in our lives, but dear friends, at the base, you have been created by God because that's just what he wanted you to be.
Yes.
We're God's workmanship. The potter knows how to make crackpots all right, doesn't he? Are we have a few crackpots around that the Lord's made very nice, yes. Okay, he's the creator who's made us. And this, on Father's Day, I'd like to suggest is a really important one. Because how many men and women have grown up with a real inadequate view of God because of the damage that they've experienced because of their fathers? No human dad is perfect. You'll never find one, okay? But some are better than others. And what the news this week was that there's a million children in our country, children in our country that have no real experience of a male role model. That is sad. It really is sad. And some of the male role models that they've seen aren't much cop anyway, I'm afraid. But God wants you to know that He is and wants to be your Heavenly Father. And the best that you could ever know. And once you get to realise that you're God's loved child, wow, that puts a foundation under everything else. It really does. Thank God for the good dads. Yeah. Forgive them for the imperfections, of course. But, you know, ultimately, the best is the Lord Himself. Okay, so we're God's workmanship. You are His creation. But of course, you know, even Christians still have battles, don't they?
Yes?
Well, I'll show you a few of the battles just to make sure that you get the thinking right. Here we have, you've got to be transformed on this one. There we have a roaring lion. How would you like to face one of them? Well, you do.
We do every day.
You do. But he just has a good disguise occasionally.
Yeah.
He says, your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Well, he prowls around, right, trying to sneak up on you, and then he roars at you. What's his intention to by roaring? Frighten you to death. Yes, that's the point. The devil's intention is to knock you out. Right, that's the aim. Frightens you with uses fear. It's one of his big tactics, right? So that's the method that he uses. Makes you afraid. Tries to make you feel helpless, weak. Give up. Don't fight. Give in. All that sort of stuff. The roaring lion. Well, we've got a verse in Romans 8. There's an antidote to this one. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. You can say daddy to God, right? And if you've received the spirit of God, then you needn't be always in the fear realm. Right? He gives us a courage. Isn't that a simple test? What's one of the tests of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Often in the Pentecostal movement, they talk about speaking in tongues. Fine, right? But I think, what was the real difference on the day of Pentecost for those disciples?
They were witnesses.
They were bold, and therefore they became witnesses. The boldness. They were inside 1 minute, locked inside, in case anybody came and went boo to them. Right? And now they're outside, then you can't stop them. Boldness. The Holy Spirit comes and says, we can take our stand. He says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Right? He might make a lot of noise. He might make you a bit deaf. But dear friends, you needn't run away. Right? This lion is beaten, provided you go on in the armour and the grace of God. Right? So, we've got that to contend with. That's one fear. Now then, you may come up with the idea, I'm just not up to the job. Too inexperienced. Yeah? There's a little experience. Learning to walk. Yeah? Well, have we all been there?
Yeah.
Learning to walk. It's too big for me. Well, probably is. But that's not the point. Listen. See what Jeremiah had to learn in this one. In chapter 1 of Jeremiah, it says in the first few verses, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Wow. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. That's not bad, is it? That is seriously inside knowledge, is it not? That's because he's a creature, a creation of God. Before you were in the womb, I knew you, he says, right? And then his reply is, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. Can't do that, Lord. Too big a job. Can't take that on. No, I'm no good. Useless. Can't say a word. That was Moses' comment, wasn't it? When the Lord spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Remember? How Moses came up with all the excuses under the sun. They won't believe me. What can I do? How can I show them? I can't talk. He was talking pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right? Well, Jeremiah, later on. Sorry, Lord. I'm only a child. He wasn't that young. Right? But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. So God says to Jeremiah, you don't have to be competent, I'm the competent one, you just do as you're told and it'll work. Right? Simple. I'll give you the words, you don't have to make them up, you don't have to dream anything, just get it from me, pass it on, and it'll work. Did it?
Yes.
Yes. Did they believe it? Not to start with. 23 years Jeremiah had of telling them things are getting worse, and if you don't change your ways, they're going to really get bad. Right? 23 years he had of telling them that, and then after 23 years, maybe he was right. He was right.
Yeah.
Right, so, too inexperienced. I'm not up to it. Well, if you feel like that, well, that's a good place to be. How many people feel so confident they can do anything and then completely botch it up? Well, a bit of humility won't go amiss. Right? Okay, but we've got him to help us. All right. Oh, well, the other side of the coin is, I'm past it. No good now. Yeah, I used to be able to do things, but now, dead loss. Too old. Can't do a thing. Anybody feeling like that this morning here? Right. Well, I've got a verse for you from Psalm 92, verse 14 to 15. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him. Too old? Well, Caleb, go back in time again, when they entered the land as spies, Caleb was 40, I believe, at that time. Prime of life, ready to go. And he had to wait for 40 years, going around in circles, because the other lot wouldn't believe. Right? And at the end of the 40 years, now he's too old, he comes and says, give me my plot of land, because I can still see as clearly as I did then, still strong in the arm. God had kept him. Right? Well, we may not all be Calebs, right? But there are all things we can do, even when we're old. I'll just give you a little example of Daniel. What about Daniel? An amazing guy. How old was Daniel when he went to go into the lion's den? Do you know? How old was Daniel when he went to face the lions? 90. 90 years old. And then they made him prime minister after that. Right? Man, he was a special case, but he's still, God can use us. Whatever we're in. Yes. Let me give you an example, you know, it's your experience, your prayers, your wisdom that you can pass on to others, they are really important. Don't despise the elderly, dear friends. Listen, the scriptures is talking about that all the time. They may know a few more things than you little upstarts might not quite have twigged out yet. Right? So it's worth asking their advice. Okay, so you're not too old either, and you're not too inexperienced. That's not the wrong way of thinking. Right, let's try this one now. So, when we come to it all, accept no excuses. Don't make excuses. Trust the Lord, right? And don't believe any of his lies, all the lies that he comes out with. I was going to sing a little song to you, which reminds me of the little lies that are about. Some of you might remember it. When I was just a little child, I asked my mother, what should I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Sera, sera, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Sera, sera. Well, you're very good, yes. I believe sera is Spanish, right? It's related to the Latin, but it's Spanish. Sera, sera means what will be, right? Pack of lies. Pack of lies for a Christian. Right? Because what will be depends on how you respond to God. Right? If you trust him, it goes well. If you don't trust him, it will be. Certainly, not very good. Okay? So, Kesara is not what it's about. Your future, your destiny, does not depend on how it turns out with the stars. Right? Before, we read in that Psalm 139, before a day came to be, it's written in your book. God has the book, but do you know how the book's written is dynamic, I'd like to say. You can change the writing on your account if you believe God. That sounds strange. God knows everything, he's got it all worked out, but dear friends, how you respond and how you behave determines the outcome. That's why he calls us to account at the end. We're judged because what you do counts. It makes a difference. Right? So, we should all be part of the cooperative society. Is that right? Yes. You are cooperating with God. When you cooperate with God, you'd be surprised what bonuses you get. You get a really good divvy. Okay? Right. Right. So, no excuses. We trust in God, going on with it. Right, another new way of thinking. This is really important for all of us. That each one of you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are a special part of the body of Christ. There, I've got a little body for you with all the labels on. Right? Each one of you is a special part of the body of Christ. I want to underline a special part. No one is all the body. You don't have all the gifts. Nobody has all the gifts. Each one of us is different. Each one of us is meant to be different. Yeah. It's just as long as you fit in the right place. I mean, as long as the hand is on the hand and not on the ear, you'll be all right. Find your place. Let the Lord guide you as to the gifts he gives you and how to use them and get functioning in the body. That's really, really important. You have a place and a role to play in the Church of Jesus Christ. Really, really important to grasp that. Nobody is a spare part. No. We've all got a place and a part to play. It may seem small, might seem unimportant, but as the Bible mentions in Corinthians, the small and unimportant parts are really the ones that make the whole system tick. Yes? You think, I'm not doing much, I'm just praying. Well, you just keep praying, please. Yeah? I'm not doing, I'm just writing a letter, can't do much. Just keep writing your letters. As I said, God hangs mountains on threads. The little things at the end of time are going to seem so strategic compared to the big blow stuff that so many seem to think is important. Right, so God's gifts. You're a gift of God. Right? Participate in the body of Christ. Another one, and the last one to think about, is you are loved and valued. Mm. You are loved and you are valued. Nobody else might think much about you, but God does. Well, we do as well, of course. Brothers and sisters have to love one another. But, you know, God's value, what value does he place on you? The precious blood of Jesus. Jesus, that's a hand being nailed there. Right. Jesus suffered and died for you. That's how valuable you are to God. He paid the precious price of the blood of Jesus for us. So, I've got a verse. Paul discovered this in Romans, in Galatians 2:20. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You notice? It's not. Go back to the beginning again. How you think isn't head stuff. Yeah? When Paul talks about he loved me and gave himself for me, it's not just he's theoretical. He's engaged in that. His heart's connected to it. And that's what it's about for us. If our heart's connected to the Lord in the way that he wants us to be, with the right way of thinking, well, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God. And did he live by faith? My goodness me. The things that man accomplished, his confidence in God, his boldness in the face of hostility and all of that stuff, really was quite amazing. I just want to share with you just a little extra bit, and if you can, and if you get Revelation Television on your TVs, on the Skybox stuff here, Revelation TV this afternoon is Middle East Report. It's about 3:30, and it's an interview with the Baptist pastor of the church in Bethlehem. Right, he's an Arab believer, and he's in Bethlehem, and he's been bombed. Their church has been bombed 14 times. He's been shot 4 times, and you can't stop him. That man, I'm just an ordinary humble man, but he's got a confidence in Jesus that is unshakable. His son's got it as well. Yeah, and here they are, and the reason they're being bombed, they've just been banned as well. Banned by the Palestinian Authority. Yeah, do you know why? Because they believe what the Bible says, the Old Testament, that God's got a place for Israel in his plans. Mm-hmm. And for an Arab Christian to believe that is seriously at the odds with everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But you watch it. Well, an ordinary humble man. But my goodness me. Revelation TV 3:30. Yeah. It's Middle East Report, it's called. Well, Paul could say, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what drove him. He says in somewhere else, the love of Christ compels me. I've got to. because of this new way of seeing, new way of thinking. He loved me. And Paul could say he was the worst of sinners. Right? Well, he loved him. Do you know he loves you that much? Because God doesn't have favourites in that sense. You know, his love is just as much available for each one of us as it is for dear old Paul. Well, let's just sum it up then. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And here we have just a quick summary of where we've been. How do you see yourself? As self-sufficient? Well, that's something to be repented of. Right? Need a serious change. And if you think you can manage on your own, you're going to find out you can't. Right? There's a chap called Ian somebody, I forgot his name, years ago. Heard it on the tape. He read about, in the verse, "Without me you can do nothing." Jesus' words to his disciples. He said, "Well, Lord, I can do all sorts of things without you." Yeah? So they had a coal fire, and he went outside to the coal house. You remember those days? Some of us, yeah? Get some coal in the bucket, came in, tripped him over the door, and the coal went all over the floor, and the Lord reminded him, "Without me you can do nothing." Not even the coal. Yeah, right. Yes? Okay, repent if you think you can manage on your own. Right. If you're a broken and bruised sinner, come to Jesus. He's able to heal the wounds. He's able to. He says a bruised reed he won't break. He won't snap you. Right? And a smoking flax, that's a little wick on a candle type thing, says he's not going to snuff you out. He'll blow on you and get you blowing, going again. Yeah? Right, so bruised and broken, come to Jesus. And if there are, and I'm sure there are, those who are trusting the Lord and following him, well, first of all, if you want to say this is, keep it up. Right? Continue to be faithful and also praise the Lord. You are where you are by the grace of God. Amen. Hope you recognise that. Yeah. And keep trusting him and keep walking with him. So, how's your head working? Are the cogs going in the right direction? That's what it's about. Because, honestly, that's the tactic the enemy uses. He wants you to think the wrong things, because if he gets you like that elephant, he's got you. Mm. Right? Yeah. But God wants you to know that you're the king of the beasts. Yeah, amen. So let's just pray, shall we? Gracious Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, it tells us the truth. And we ask again, search us, O Lord. Show us where we've got it wrong to get it right. Lord, we bless you for loving us. And Lord, that your commitment to us is 100%, Lord. Faithful every day, all the way. So we say we love you, Lord. Help us to love you more and to know you better. And Lord, in that, walk in the truth. Lord, you said the truth, that it sets us free. Lord, and it does. Lord, put your truth into our hearts, into our minds, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.